think you're liking this change. Just, I'm just playing with you. No, I'm not. That's all right. I want to start a brand new series today called Being a Church on Purpose. And just before we do that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's coming up this coming weekend. We have our town hall meeting, our vision town hall meeting. And I want to remind you that the men have given us the privilege of having breakfast before, but we need to know if you're going to be here for breakfast. So will you do something for me? Will you take one of these information cards or welcome cards? And if you're going to be here for the town hall meeting and you're going to be here also for breakfast, just put your first names on there. We're not going to send you an invoice or anything. So just put your name on there and write down two or how many of you are going to be there. And then we can make sure Kelly and the team know how much bacon to cook for our town hall meeting. All right. Will you do that for us? We're looking forward to a great time together. We're going to talk about vision. And that's really why we're going to talk this morning and this whole month about what's the purpose of the church? What are the purposes of the church? So we're gonna look at that together. All right, you ready to learn? Good. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need to learn today. We need to learn to sit in a new spot. Well, it's hard to believe that 2018 is here. It felt just like we did. I don't know about you, but I remember, every year it seems like there's doom and gloom. There's somebody that's going to talk to us about something that's going to go wrong. And I remember what it was like to turn from 1999 to 2000. How many of you put water in your tub because somebody told you we were not going to have water? I was in Ontario. We had our tub filled right to the top. And at 5 after 12, I drained it. Because life was all right. Life was all right. But my mom told me to do it. So you always listen to your mom, right? Right, moms? In fact, I talk to my mom every Sunday morning when I'm driving up here from Sherwood Park. And I chatted with her today. She's not doing too well. She got a cold. And so we chat a little bit. What's new? And the older she gets, the more questions she asks the same. But that's okay. So what are you planning for 2018? What goals are you setting for 2018? What are your personal goals? What are your relational goals? What are your financial goals or your physical goals that you want to accomplish in 2018? And what are the priorities for Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church in 2018? You see, today starts the sixth month of my transition pastoral ministry here at the Fort. It's hard to believe. We're in the sixth month. We're nearing halfway, folks. We have some work to do, and we've done some work. In October, we had a first of our three town hall meetings that was focused on bringing closure to the past. And next week, January the 13th, we're going to be talking about our second town hall meeting, defining our vision for the future. And so I invite you to come and participate with that. And can I ask you to do a little bit of homework before? Will you take your outline? And there's a couple of blank spots. I want to ask you to do a little bit of thinking and praying about it before. Because there's one thing I want you to consider as we talk about our vision, and that's what do we value? What do we value? You see, one of the things that drives our vision is our values. We as an Alliance Church in Canada have values. I believe we have some values here, but you might be going, well, why values, Bob? Like what's the big deal? A value, the reason why I ask that question, because it says what's important to you. What is important to you as a part of this church? What is important to this church? You see, there are three types of values. Let me just give you a little bit of a lesson on this and think about that. There are historical values, which basically says, as we've looked back to our past, what do we see that we have valued? I mean, by what we have done, the things that we have been committed to, the things that were successful, the things that God blessed, the things that we kind of miss the mark on, that also tells us what we value. Then there's what we call unspoken values. And they're the values that are really revealed by what we do. See, one of your values is not change, because it messes you up every time we do it. But that's an unspoken value. We're growing that value for you. Not just to tick you up, but to help you grow. But then there's a third set of values, and that's called aspirational values. And that's what should we value. So we look back, we've looked at our past to say, this is what we think we value. What are the unspoken values that we have within the church? And then what are the aspirational values? What are the values that we should have for the future? So here's a passage of scripture I want you to take 5 minutes sometime between now and Saturday to look at. Will you write this passage down? It's Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7. And what I want you to do is I want you to sit and read it and think about it for 5 minutes and pull out two or three values do you think that were important to the early church. Okay, will you do that? Because we're going to talk about values before we talk about vision. Because how do we know where we're going if we don't know what we value? Does that make sense to you? Okay? So think about that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that on Saturday when you come. All right? In order for us to set up this session well, meaning our town hall meeting, I want to take a few weeks to unearth the overall purposes of the church. And how does that affect you and I today? Specifically today, I want to help you see the big picture, what I believe are the five purposes of the church. And if you've been here for a number of years, you may have recognized some of these purposes, because I believe when I was going through the history that at one point we actually were really focused on these five purposes. And what I want to look at them is, whether you call them the five purposes or whether you call the five priorities, it doesn't really matter. The scriptural concepts are the same. And before we jump into the specific, let me pull back and give you a big picture view. Where does our purpose come from? Note the source of all of our purposes in your first passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Look at what it says. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and in everyone. Here's the good news this morning. God has a plan for your life. He does. Look again at the words in this verse. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. If you're here this morning and you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you're living without a purpose. You haven't discovered who you are until you understand whose you are. How important is it having a relationship with Christ in your life? Look at what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Everything, absolutely everything, got started in him and finds its purpose in him. Will you circle the word everything? It's there twice. Everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. So at the beginning of 2018, I'd like you to know that you were created for a purpose, and that purpose can only be found in Christ. At the beginning of 2018, I want you to feel like you have a direction. You have a framework of just what those purposes are. So at the beginning of 2018, I want you to go from this service today and walk in confidence with certainty, knowing what pleases God. So here we go. Hope you got some good sleep last night. Hope you're alert and you're ready to learn. Before we dive in, let's look at this morning, because we're going to look at this generally. We're going to talk about the five purposes of the church, and then I'm going to spend one service on every purpose. So we're looking at a big picture here, okay? So we're going to go through this fairly quickly this morning. So just hang on. We need some tracks. All right? Here's the first purpose. God planned me for his pleasure. God planned me for his pleasure. So what do I mean by this? God created you and I to worship him. To worship him. In fact, it's bigger than that. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, God created everything, and it is for your pleasure that they exist and were created. Circle that word everything again. What is everything? Everything. The birds, the rocks, the mosquitoes, the sun, the moon, all of it. He created to reflect his glory, to exalt his name. One of my greatest memories of going to England years ago was going into Westminster Abbey in London. Just walking in that cathedral and seeing the magnificent architecture, the stained glass windows, the majestic ceilings. I mean, all it did to me going in as a person of faith, and I was very young in my faith at that time, because I was only 25 years old, 23 years old going in there. It was like, man, everything cried out, how awesome is my God? One of the beautiful things about those cathedrals is you had to go in and hush, because it was just so majestic, right? Everything is created for him. And it's not enough that God created nature around us for his pleasure. Notice the verse in the Bible that says in Psalm 149, verse 4, the Lord takes pleasure in his people. You and I were created to give him pleasure. He looks at you and he looks at me and he rejoices. He doesn't scowl at us. He's not mad at us. He rejoices in us. In fact, it's deeper than that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, long before he laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as a focus of his love. Friend, did you hear the providence in this verse? Before the foundation of the world was in place, he already pictured us as recipients of his great love. Remember those who were here on Christmas Eve, I explained to you that the manger was an expression of God's unconditional love to you and to me. See, God's not angry with us. God doesn't look down on you and me with disdain and with disgust and with disappointment. No, listen, folks, you and I are objects of his love. Do you remember your first love? For some of you, that's last century. Do you remember how you were almost obsessed with that person? Every waking moment was consumed by thoughts and imaginations of and hopes of being with that person. God is obsessed with loving you just like that. So what should be our response? In Matthew 22, Ashley spoke about this last week in her message to us. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. This is a direct quote from Deuteronomy, where God gives Israel the Shema, and they memorized it at a very early age, and they would recite it twice a day. The moment they woke up, they would say it, and before they put their eyes shut, before they would fall asleep at night, they would ask the same question. They would make the same declaration. It summarizes the whole Old Testament. Now, I'm a communicator, so I want to make a simple point for us here this morning. At the beginning of 2018, so many of us are focused on what we're going to do for God. But listen to what the Bible says in Hosea chapter 6. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Were sacrifices important in the Old Testament? Yes or no? Yes, they were. And God said, it's not about what you do. It's about how you love him that matters. Which leads me to our first purpose in life. Fill this out, folks. Our first purpose in life is to know and love God. Our first purpose in life is to know and love God. That's the bottom line. That's why you are on this earth. Please don't miss this. This is foundational. As believers, we can get distracted with the doing, with the rules, with the regulations, with the chairs, with communion. Just want to make sure you're listening. That we miss out on the relationship that God desires with him most. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, some people have missed the most important thing in life. They don't know God. In 2018, don't be one of those people. Set a simple goal of spending 15 minutes a day to grow in your love for God, to sit at his feet and to listen to his still small voice, to get to know him more. So one, God planned me for his pleasure. Secondly, God formed me for his family. You and I were not meant to be in isolation and alone. God created a family for us to be a part of, and that's called fellowship. The gathering of God's people. As some of you may know, our district coach, Tim Beadle, was diagnosed with cancer over a year ago. And I have occasion, and we pray for him every day. And just before Christmas, we sat down, or we chatted, and he said something that struck me that was very, very interesting. He said this. He said, I tell people that I have no church home because I oversee 32 churches. But what I've learned in announcing that he had cancer a year ago was, he said, I'm overwhelmed with the love and the prayers of everyone from our district. And I said to him, you are part of one family. When you and I place our trust in the person of Jesus, we become a part of a larger family, the bride of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, God's unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. Again, coming together with other believers brings God pleasure. You were not meant to do life alone. And what are you going to do through tragedy and sickness and trials? There's no place I'd rather be than with God's people when I face difficulties. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, God has given us the privilege of being born again so that we are now members of God's own family. The only pass that you get into the family of God is your faith in Christ. So how are we to act towards one another? Oh, we're going to spend some time on this. January 21st, we're going to talk about it. But look what this says in your notes. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17 says, love your spiritual family. We're going to talk about this January 21. But this also leads me to my second purpose for your life, and that's this. The second purpose of life is to learn to love other people. How many of you would say that in 2018 you need to learn to love some people in your life? Put up your hand. Some of you are sitting next to them. The majority of Paul's letters were written to the church in the New Testament. And all of them are divided into two parts. This is what you should believe, and this is how you should act. Are they in order for a reason? Absolutely, because you won't change your behavior until you change your beliefs. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, we belong to each other, and each of us needs the other. That's what it is. In fact, we're going to talk more about that in the Sundays to come. So God's planned me for his pleasure. He's formed me for his family. Thirdly, God has created me to be like Christ. Here's another purpose for the church. That's discipleship. Perhaps one of the goals that you want to consider in 2018 is to join a small group. So why would you do this? Because Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this, from the very beginning, God decided that those who came to him and all who he knew, and all along he knew who would, underline this next part, should become like his son. God created you, only one of you, to reflect the person of Jesus in you. In looking back over 2017, how did you become more like God's son? Did you grow in wisdom? Did you grow in forgiveness? Did you grow in surrender? Did you grow in grace? Did you grow in love? My prayer is that today, January the 7th, 2018, that I'm not the same that I was on this day in the end of 2019, that I'm not the same as I am today. You see, Paul exhorts us in Philippians. Stop for a moment. Philippians, where Paul was in jail, where he was in shackles, where he was in chains, bound from preaching the word publicly, prohibited from preaching in the courtyards. And he says to us today, in your lives, you must think and act like Jesus Christ. In order for you and I to act and think like Christ, we need to get to know Christ, to discover his passions, to discern his priorities. You see, the reason why I think and act like my father is because I spent time with my father. I open his word. I listen to his spirit. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, as the spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him. Transformation only takes place over time. During this past week in our staff meeting, we're going through a leadership book. I know you're surprised by that. And we read this statement where the author of this book said, I define maturity as unselfishness. How do I know if I'm mature? How many? Well, for some of you, you got hair to be gray. For some of you, only your hairdresser knows it's gray. Anyway, How many times do I want to get my own way? Oh, that hurts this morning. Coming in and finding your chair is moved. How much of your time is consumed by focusing on you and what you want and what you like and what you dislike? You see, as we become like Christ, it is reflected in living a life of unselfishness. You see, as you and I wrestle with our humanity, that's when we allow the Spirit of God to alter our nature, which leads us to the third purpose again, and we will dive into this in January the 29th. The third purpose of life is to grow up spiritually. You know, a baby's cute when it arrives in this world. It's not cute when it's in its diapers when it's 30. When a seed that's been put in the ground is mature, what does it look like? It looks like a stalk of wheat or barley. Notice how some believers live. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4, some people have such shallow soil of character that when their emotions wear off and difficulties arrive, there's nothing to show for it. Friends, listen to me carefully. I don't share with this to impress you, but to impress upon you a truth. The only way I was able to find my way through the ugliness of my deepest heartbreak was because of how deep my roots were with God. Ray Bolts wrote a song called The Anchor Holds. Here are some of the words of the lyrics of that song. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out of the open sea by faith alone. Sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. The anchor holds, though the ship's been battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. One of the reasons why we are to grow up spiritually is to have an anchor in our faith that is unmovable in the storms of life. How secure are your anchors this morning? See, God planned you for my pleasure. He formed me for his family. He created me to be like Christ. And fourthly, he shaped me to serve him. I wish I could park on this for an hour, but our time's slipping by. God shaped you. The fourth purpose of the church is for ministry. God did not create you to sit and to soak and to sour, but to smile and to serve. The Bible says in Psalm 139, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I believe in the snowflake principle, not the one about the political stuff in the U.S. But I understand that every snowflake is unique in its design, and there are no two alike. And I'm convinced that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's what the scripture says about us, right? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. So each one of us this morning has a shape. We've been shaped. We looked in the mirror this morning. Now stay with me. We're almost done. Shape stands for what are my spiritual gifts? Every believer has at least one. My heart, what's my passion? My abilities, what are my abilities? My personality, what is my unique personality that God has given to me? And then what are my experiences? Because that shape, all of those five components, if I was to sit down with you in 30 minutes, I could tell you what your ministry should be in this church. I'd be going, well, what? Yep. I'd find out what your spiritual gifts are. I find out what your passion is. What are you passionate about? And by the way, let me just say this at the very beginning. These five purposes, you're usually passionate about one of them. You're committed to the rest of them, but you're usually passionate about one of them. So the worship teams are passionate about what? Worship. Are they contributing in the rest? Absolutely. But they're passionate about worship. That's where they give leadership. Here's what I understood about church ministry when it came to church health. Is if I could get 20% of my church committed to one of the purposes, then I had a healthy church. So if 20% of the church was committed to worship, 20% of the church was committed to evangelism, 20% of the church was committed to discipleship, do you understand? When I had 20% in all five of those, I had a healthy church, and the church grew. I never had to make it grow. It grew. And for some of you today, you still feel like you have to be passionate about all five of them. I'm here to let you off the hook, give you a life, let you go with your passions and your experience this morning. You see, today people are obsessed with success, but when you taste significance, success does not compare. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, God made us what we are. Oh, sit there for a minute. You're not happy with who you are? God's created you. In Christ, God made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Three truths in this verse. I'm just going to give them to you. God doesn't make junk. He made you who you are and what you are. God manifests his power in us when we do good works. And God has a plan when he made you in Christ to do good works. But Bob, I don't have anything to offer God. Really? God wants you to bloom where you're planted with the seeds that he gave you. Look what it says in 1 Peter chapter 4. God has given each of you some special abilities. Be sure to use them to help each other, passing on many kinds of blessings. So that brings me to the fourth purpose that you have. The fourth purpose of life is to serve God by serving others. You see, the Christian life's not complicated, friends. I want you to know how to serve God. Serve in the ministry, in the nursery, serve as a greeter, serve as a small group leader. Many of us don't see the connection between ministering to God by ministering to others. But Jesus discusses this in Matthew chapter 25. Because the Bible says, then they replied, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not help you? And he answered them, I tell you the truth, when you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. I'm always perplexed as to why each church I've served in has had a hard time filling ministry needs. You and I are shaped to serve God, and we will not reach our potential. We will not experience true fulfillment until we are serving other people. In 2018, what area of ministry here at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church are you willing to give your testimony, your time, and your talent, your shape? Some of you just needed to be doing something to help other people. So let me remind you, God planned me for his purpose. That's all about worship. God formed me for his family. That's all about fellowship. God created me to be like Christ. That's discipleship. God shaped me to serve him. That's all about ministry, which brings me to the fifth one. God made me for a mission. In the Mission Impossible movies, you know how it all starts out. There's a tape recording that says, your mission, if you choose to accept it. Do you know what your mission is for 2018? Your mission from God is, if you choose to accept it, is the final purpose, evangelism. The Bible says in John chapter 17 that Jesus said these words. Jesus said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world. Jesus' mission was to bring salvation to the world. Our mission is to bring the message of salvation to the world. That's why the church exists. To reach this area with the good news. You see, when people have no purpose, then chaos comes. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, where there is no vision, the people perish. When I was vice president of human resources for a manufacturing company in Edmonton some years ago, the president issued a challenge for the company to reach a $4 million sales mark for the month. And if we did, we got a bonus. And so I watched with great insight about this very verse that I just read to you, albeit in the business world, at work. On those last days when we were getting to the very last, the 28th and the 29th and the 30th of November, it was interesting to see how everybody would work together and how everybody would do everything they could to help us reach that goal. And praise God, we did. And we had a party. And we got a bonus. But you know what was really strange? Was December was the worst month with the employees that we had, because they didn't have any purpose. They started to look at each other, and I was reminded that when we're not rowing the boat, We're looking at everybody on the crew. And we start to evaluate them. We start to judge them. The same way is with the church. When we're all working towards a mission, when we're focused, we're encouraging, we're accommodating, we're forgiving, we're not easily being offended. And when we're not, oh, there are days I wish a church had an HR department. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed in 2018. Do you? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 8, those who embrace my ways are most blessed. What are his ways? Review his purposes for the church and the four individual purposes you discovered this morning, because we have a huge mission. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. No one is excluded. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. How many of you here this morning echo that verse? Your life is far better than it was without Christ. Many of us would say yes, right? Before I pray, I want to call you to our next week. Next week, we're going to look about embracing God's pleasure. We're going to look at worship and why we're called to live a life of worship. And by the way, worship isn't just about music. We're going to discover that next week. So will you pray with me? Let's pray. Invite the worship team to come. Dear God, thank you for creating me and loving me. I want you to fulfill the purpose that you created me for. So starting today, I really want to get to know and love you and trust you. I want my life to bring you pleasure, and I want to be a part of your family. Help me to grow more like your son, Jesus, and to use my life to follow and serve you. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for me. In the weeks ahead, help me understand your vision and mission for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.